you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason we come together with this community to talk every day and to bring this to you, you know, to go ahead and make a broadcast, put them on your radio stations and send them to you through different formats. We're just honored that you take the time to tune us in. We still got Kevin. He's down there. He's warm. He's in Florida. The weather's nice. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it's going to be a warm one today. It's going to be in the 80s.
So if you're close to Ocala, Florida, Kevin's going to be down there for a few weeks. So he'll be there in Ocala, Florida. So you could always send him a message and say, hey, our family wants to know where you're going to be preaching in the future or something. Or maybe you just want to buy him a cup of coffee at Starbucks. He'll drink it, man. I'm living proof. If you buy him something, he'll eat it. He'll drink it. But he's gluten-free. So remember that in the process. All right. He's a hospitable guy, but he doesn't do gluten. It just it makes his eyebrows twitch. It does weird things to his stomach. So don't go ahead and mess with that. So today we continue to move on with an exegetical study of the life of Christ. And we find ourselves dealing with miracles. We want to talk about healing of the leper and today. And remember, and the word we're talking about today, or the words, is unwavering faith. So remember, lepers had it pretty bad. These people, there was no antibiotics back then, which basically kicked it. Give people a huge dose of penicillin and they get better. Their limbs stop falling off, the wounds go away and things of that nature. And people would walk around and say, unclean, unclean, so folks wouldn't get close to them and catch this bacterial infection. So we're going to be talking about that miracle here in a minute. But I want to share a couple verses with you about unwavering faith. And I found one verse that really got me going over in James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, let me tell you, folks, when you have nothing wavering, when you trust in Christ alone, we were talking about that yesterday when we talked about intercession, when you have nothing wavering, and then the Bible says, so it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave on the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It's just going there. So I remember my son Daniel and I were sitting at the on the Pacific Ocean there in Hawaii on Waikiki. And we're the only ones on the beach late one night as the sun was going down and everybody's eating or wherever they could be. And Daniel and I did a little bit of snorkeling and we were sitting there on the beach and we were looking out and we were just mesmerized that the waves just go everywhere. And, but God says, ask me things and don't be wavering. And then it says over in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And I could keep on going with this, but you get what I'm saying is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're putting everything out there. Folks, when I swore into the United States Army, when I raised my right hand in the air, I said, I'll do anything that my country needs me to do against enemies, foreign or domestic. I will obey the orders of the officers appointed over me. I'll just do it. Folks, somewhere along the way, we forgot with God. We just need to do it, Kevin. We just need to trust him. We need to do it. We need to step out.
Yeah, that is so true. When we do a... when we sign up, it's not going to be good if we kind of look back or, like you said, waver in our faith, unwavering faith. You know, the scripture talks about drawing back. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So God is not at all pleased, and it hurts his heart if we launch out by faith and then some circumstance happens, we get blindsided by a situation and then say, I don't think is what I signed up for here. We cannot hurt God with bullets, and the way we hurt God is not physically. We hurt his heart by drawing back by our faith. It's a slap in his face to say, God, I don't believe like I used to. And I think tens of thousands of Christians on earth today are drawing back. And this, but God gives us a better example than that in Abraham. And this goes, this is a companion verse to James that you just talked about. He that wavereth is, you know, like the wave of the sea and all that. It says, Abraham, this is Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, that's the opposite of strong, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. So the get this, the clock's ticking. God said, you're going to have a child, and the child's going to have so many kids. You're going to father a nation like the sand of the seashore. And he's like, okay, I look toward heaven. I believe that. And then year after year after year after year goes by, and he was not the picture of, you know, perfection and sinlessness, because he did mess up with Hagar. He kind of drew back there for a while, but he got it right. He got it right. And unfortunately, he reaped what he sowed. Israel still is in over there with the children of Ishmael and the Arabs over there. But it says he considered not his own body now dead. When he was strongest in faith, he said, God, I'm getting older and older and older. Ishmael didn't work out. I've tried it my own way. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to have to just disregard how old I am, because I haven't seen the promise come to pass yet. And so I'm going to instead not look at my body. It says when he's 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That was Abraham's story. That's the thing that made God happy. He wasn't drawing back. He just kind of locked in on the promise. And he had that kind of, Doug, he had an abandoned faith, I call it. He just said, you know what? It's, I don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? Whatever God does, let him do it, because I know this, he will keep his word. When the facts are all in, he meant exactly what he said, and he said exactly what he meant. And when this, when the dust settles, then I'm gonna see that God really did keep his word. And you know, I can think of times in my life, Doug, where I just was like, I have no idea. I can think of a few years ago saying, I have no idea how I could possibly continue to serve God. Just have no idea. It'd be a miracle. Well, guess what? You know, God did it. Just today, I got to ask if I'd do a little radio broadcast up in Maine. And you know what? I'm just saying, it's all God. God gets a pat on the back. It's all grace. And that's what we're looking for. We're just looking for belief in the fact that God can do something, and it'll all be by grace for his glory.
Yeah, it's all about God. It starts and it ends with God. And you know, it's submitting yourselves therefore to God. It's doing that. Submitting yourself through intercession, through prayer, through trusting in God alone, through just going out there. You know, I love that idea that we're a new creature, that we're a new creation. I have people tell me all the time, they say, you know, Doug, I did this when I was younger, or I did this, I did that. And I always say, you know, there's a verse over there in 2 Corinthians 5. And it talks about people, anybody that's, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, you're new. I don't want to hear it. The old guy's not there anymore. He's not there anymore. Stop it. Don't let him in. Kick the old man out. What's Clint Eastwood said, don't let the old man in. And let me tell you, let that new guy, that new creation in Christ, that new gal, that new, say, hey, I'm not part of this anymore. I'm not going to live there anymore. I had a lady tell me one time, she was 70 years old, and she came to the altar and she said, I've spent the last 30 years of my life not serving God and living in the past, thinking about the things I did in the past, the people I knew in the past, all those different things. And I've just wasted it all. And I said, not all. Starting right now, Right now, you change things. Right now, on this day, this minute, all you got to do, as long as you're breathing, God can change you. As long as you're breathing, the circumstances can change. As long as you're breathing, there's still hope. As long as everything can change. And brethren, I say that to you because we got to have that unwavering faith. We got to have that trust. We've got to trust in God. We've got to say, you know, this is about God. And if it becomes about us, we're no good. Kevin just said, just a few years ago, I said, how can I go on? I've been there. Let me tell you, I had a guy run me out of a missions agency that I built. I had a guy, he tried to ruin my life. I hired him as the pastor. I get it. But you know who never let me down? Jesus. How's that song go, Kevin? I know we got about 10 seconds here. You know that song that guy wrote, that Craigle, No One Ever Loved Me Like
That? Oh.
What is
no
it?
One ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Yeah, I don't know the rest. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Something
folks, we'll like be right that. Back with you. Hang with us.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Written, that was good, Kevin. I want to tell you that. I know we had to run and do the commercial, that thing we have to do, and let the radio stations do what they have to do. But I have this written on one of the inside flyers of my Bible. I just turned to it. It said, doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the days. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes, faith answers I. Oh, I don't know about you folks, but I want the faith. I want to be the person that said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Isn't that something? You know, the Bible says over in Mark 1:40 through 45, where we find ourselves, talking about this leper who's walking around earth saying, unclean, unclean. I mean, things are, you know, he's got, obviously, if he's a leprous dude and he's a leper, he's got wounds. He's got maybe having things fall off. He's got infection, bacterial infections throughout his body. And we see here in the Bible, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. I hope we get to see a replay of this up in heaven. And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto him. But he went out and began to publish it much, and blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Word got around, hey, God can heal you. At Jesus of Nazareth, he's the real deal. He's the Savior. He can change you. Even when you're stigmatized and you got a contagious disease, even when people are saying, whatever you do, stay away from Doug. Unclean, unclean. When your family kicks you out, when everybody's afraid, that's when Jesus does his best work. That's when God, you know, when we're at our lowest, when we look at ourselves and see ourselves as God seeing us, when we look at the filthy sin that's been in our lives, when we look at the terrible things that overtake us, and then all of a sudden we get to look back and say, boy, oh God, he just made me clean, white as snow. He changed everything. A couple things I want to talk to you about, a couple points to ponder real quick. Number one, the leper's faith. Have the faith of that leper, my friends. The leper's faith turned into Jesus' compassion, and he was obedient to God's instructed, and that testimony changed the world. But that faith, folks, be that person that has faith. Be that person that believes. Be that person that trusts God. Be that person that steps out. And man, have a boldness in faith. You know, live out loud. Kevin said last week during the broadcast, he said, you know, his pastor said, live out loud. Be that person. Be bold in your faith. Talk about the Savior that's got the power to heal and transform. And, you know, have a compassionate outreach to folks. You know, folks who aren't doing great, who aren't in a great place, people who aren't necessarily the best people in the world. Look for those people. Take care of them. Look out for them. Be obedient to God's word. And most of all, what we should get out of this miracle is share the gospel. You know what that leper did? He just went out and started saying, I don't know what happened. Man, I went in there, I had wounds. I know one thing, that guy's the Savior. I know something, he's God. I know I have a life now. I know that I passed the Moses test. I don't have to yell unclean anymore. Let me go get some clean clothes and hey, and let's go downtown to Luigi's and get some lasagna, man. I'm ready to serve, Kevin. He was ready to go.
Yeah, this picture of the leper being cleansed is such a great picture of so many things. Leprosy is a picture type of sin, and so leprosy being cleansed shows, you know, by the way, leprosy was incurable at the time, and some of it was a certain, you know, the leprosies that were back there then. Of course, they were in leper colonies, and they weren't allowed to be around people. Once you had it, you had to keep a cloth over your mouth in public. And if people came near, you had to shout out a, you know, an audible warning ahead of time, unclean, unclean, as a warning to people so that they wouldn't come by, you know, come near you. So
yeah,
when it got cleansed, it was a miracle. If you go back into the Old Testament, there's a lot of scriptures about, you know, how they would have to go to the priest and get diagnosed.
Oh, but man, Jesus, the book of Numbers, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Issues and answers. That's what was happening. Yeah. There's issues of blood and there was leprous issues. And then there was God's answers. But what we see here in the scriptures in the life of Jesus Christ doing this miracle is, you know, in answer to the guy's faith, and I love the guy's faith. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And I like how he left it in the hands of the Lord. And I like how the Lord responded by saying, I will. So, you know, don't fall into the trap that you've got to command God, or you just got to say, I'm believing God. This will happen like I'm asking. Just leave it in the hands of the Lord, but believe he is able to do this. There's a miracle where Jesus said, do you believe I am able to do this? So, Lord, if thou wilt, I believe you are able, and I'm sure asking with unwavering faith that you, in your ability to do this, and Lord, I would sure like to have it happen. If you'd like to, I'd sure like to have it happen. But when he cleansed this leper, it was obviously a miracle that basically did not happen. And when it happened, he had to go to the priest. Jesus said, go to the priest. Man, there's a big verse there, verse 44. And yeah, show thyself and offer for thy cleansing the things which Moses commanded. And he's referring for a testimony. So why did Jesus say that? Because when you got cleansed of leprosy in the Old Testament, you went to the priest. Because the priest basically had diagnosed you and said, only God can help you. There's nothing I can do. No doctor can help you. Only God can help you. So when this leper went to the priest, he said, wow, God helped you. Yeah, let me tell you who God is Jesus Christ. It was a testimony. And I thought it was pretty cool that the offering that in the book of Leviticus that they had to offer, that Jesus is no doubt referring to Leviticus 14, is oil and blood, or blood and oil. So they had to kill an animal and put the blood of the sacrifice on on his thumb, on his right thumb, on his right big toe, and his right ear. And then the oil also on top of the blood. So there was blood, and then it was mixed with oil afterwards, two separate offerings. But when that happened, of course, it was a testimony of, you know, what you're doing has to be cleansed with the blood. Where you go with your foot has to be cleansed with the blood, and what you hear, those sensory receptors up there. So, man, praise God that this is a testimony. Jesus said, "Go out there and go to the priest," and I'll guarantee when the priest put the blood in the oil on this guy's thumbs and on his ear. I think everywhere he went, he's like flashing his thumb. You're like the girl that goes to the nail salon. He's like flashing his thumb. He's like, look at my right toe through this sandal. Look at my ear. I'm at God. Jesus Christ is God. And the blood and the oil, oil's the type of the spirit. But praise God, he does a real good job of cleansing, gives us a job to tell about it.
We serve a compassionate, wonderful, powerful God. And just exactly what Kevin's saying, man, he just goes to God, you know. And this guy goes to God, he gets healed, and then he goes and tells everybody about it. You know, we go out, we buy a new car, we say, man, that's the best car we ever had. That's the best camper we've ever had. That's the best meal I've ever had. But we just don't go out of our way to say, man, we serve a great God. You ought to see what he did today. He saved five people at a church. Lives are changed. He healed a leper. Folks, I'm telling you, I knew Dr. Dreisbach. Dr. Dreisbach was a modern-day doctor, and 60 years ago, he showed up over there in Africa, and there were still people in Africa that were dealing with leprosy. He brought in over 6,000 tons of penicillin. And went throughout the continent of Africa, sharing the gospel and passing out penicillin. We serve a great God, folks. He's on our Hall of Fame missionary wall. We sure do love you. We hope you have a great day. Come back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.